Not yet, Morning Magazine.
Just wait.
Just wait an hour.
Get your turn.
You gotta wait an hour. Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Yeah, we are locally grown radio. Mm-hmm. Melissa and James here with you. It is 9.05 on the clock, and we hope you're having a fantastic day out there.
Yeah.
We got some That Ain't Right stories, some good stories of the day all coming up for you. Right now, we're going to dive into a little bit of entertainment news. I do want to get into the best place to sit in a movie theater.
Oh, good. That's information, one of the things, to have.
Yeah, it's one of the things we're going to get into in our entertainment here. First up, we're going to start with Rihanna because I want to. It's actually a very good, I think it's a good story of the day as well, and an entertainment story.
Okay.
Despite what the internet might have told you, not everyone over the age of 45 hated Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime show.
Well, that's good.
In fact, a group of, quote-unquote, they said this themselves, seasoned ladies at the Arcadia Senior Living Center in Bowling Green, Kentucky, recreated some of her moves in a TikTok video that
really?
Instantly went viral.
Oh.
It has over 30 million views.
Wow.
And I'm going to show Melissa just a little bit of this, if it'll let me. These ladies are awesome.
Oh, they're so cute. They're dressed in all white.
Yeah.
And they're one in red.
Yes.
Oh, there she goes.
Oh,
dancing, singing.
They are giving it too.
That's cute.
Oh, that was great. Oh, and apparently, yeah,
I want to see the whole video.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It showed us like what 5 seconds.
Yeah, just a quick snippet of it and everything.
That's really cute, though.
Well, Rihanna took notice and sent the ladies a bouquet of white roses along with a note saying their dance was amazing.
Oh, that is so cute.
And about a week ago, because she did this right away, mm-hmm. And then about a week later, Jay-Z sent them a bouquet of red roses.
Nice.
and others have followed suit. But these are some beautiful, like, they,
oh,
they
wow.
did not,
those
like,
are
cheap,
pretty
cheap
roses.
Out on these flowers or
they
anything.
Definitely
they sent them
not.
Some really nice ones. How darn cool is that?
You know, that is the beautiful thing about what, you know, this crazy thing that we have, this social media monster,
mm-hmm.
There is beauty in it.
Yes.
And the fact that those ladies, you know, if they had done something like that, I don't know, 10 years ago even, 20 years ago, it maybe would have got on the local news.
Yeah.
Would Rihanna have ever heard of it?
Yeah,
probably not.
No, probably not.
But because of TikTok, because of social media, that something like that gets her attention enough to go, that's awesome. Here's some flowers.
Social media was created by humans, and so it makes sense that social media would be both beautiful and dark
and,
at times, because
yes.
That's humanity.
Yeah.
it
we are
really
a little bit
up.
Of that yin and yang.
Yeah. That is a really cool story.
It
good,
is.
On, good on Jay-Z, Rihanna for doing that, and really good on those ladies for
yeah.
doing that. Like, great dancing. That was awesome. There's an interesting one here. There was a fungus-killing bacteria discovered last month in Germany that was named Keanu Reeves.
Really?
Yeah, scientists said they named it Keanomykins.
Okay.
Because, quote, the lipopoids kill so effectively that we named them after him because he is so extremely deadly in his roles. Well, during an Ask Me Anything forum on Reddit on Saturday, a user asked Keanu what he thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever seen an interview with Keanu Reeves, this is a guy who just talks. He doesn't overthink things.
Yeah.
He's like the opposite of me. This is part of the reason I like him so much is because he seems like the polar opposite of what I am, and I would love to hang out with him.
Okay.
Like, maybe it would rub off on me a little bit, some of that like laid-back mentality and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great response to this. He said, quote, "They should have called it John Wick, but that's pretty cool and surreal for me. But thanks, scientist people. Good luck, and thank you for helping us." I love that he added the thank you for helping us thing.
Yeah.
And I do think he's actually right about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like Keanu Reeves, the human being, everything we know about him couldn't be more of a zen, more of a loving
laid
human
back.
Being, laid back.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about this the other day. I don't think many people could have studied Robin Williams more than I did, on, off the field, all that stuff. And Robin Williams was a part of about 6 or 7 different huge causes in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that, to me, he's one of the greatest stand-up comedians, top three actors I've ever seen. And in that being said, even greater human being. with what he did with his time and all that. Mm-hmm. And then he passes, and like a couple of months later, we find out, oh yeah, he was also a part of like 30 other causes mm-hmm. that he was putting his time and his money into and everything that we never even knew about.
Yeah, just not broadcasting it.
I feel like Keanu Reeves is going to be like that, where we keep hearing stories, because he lives in Hawaii. We hear all these stories all the time about he hangs out at like a lot. He likes mechanics and he likes cars and stuff. So he'll hang out at a lot of the mechanic shops around there in Hawaii. And there will be people who can't pay for their you know, stuff, and he'll pay for it. And he won't tell them he's doing it. He'll just do it and then he'll leave. And like no big pomp and circumstance. He doesn't take an Instagram photo or anything. He just does it. Right. I can't imagine all that. Those are just the stories we're hearing. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine all the stuff that we'll hear after, you know, he passes or whatever and stuff.
And those mechanics are busy on Hawaii because, man, that salt does a number on their roads.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, potholes in Hawaii are, they're big enough to swallow your car.
That's interesting.
That's why everybody tries Toyota pickup trucks.
I love his response to this, though. Yes,
yeah, John scientist
Wick.
People.
Should have named that fungus John Wick, that's for sure. Wanted to touch on this one as well. This is an interesting thing, and it comes to us from Popular Science. Going to the movies is practically an investment these days.
Yes.
So you want to get the best experience for your money, especially if you're going to be having to take a mortgage out to go to the movies. That includes finding the best seat. And here, there's a system to that.
Okay.
Popular Science magazine figured out the absolute best place to sit in a movie theater. Not surprisingly, you want to be in the middle of a row, so you're lined up. You're lined up with the center of the screen.
Yeah, I think we all knew that.
Yeah. Not only do you get the best view, but the surround sound system is designed to deliver the perfect balance in the center of the theater. As for what row to choose, you should sit about 2/3 of the way back.
Oh,
that's where the audio engineers generally sit to test the sound system.
Okay.
If those rows are taken, you should sit closer to the screen rather than farther back because it utilizes your peripheral vision better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Okay.
This is where I've always sat.
Same.
But I don't know if I've never, as much as I overthink these things and stuff, I never necessarily overthought this. It's where
and I think that's where most people try to sit.
Right.
Because it just
right.
makes sense.
So maybe it's just nice to have the kind of like
the confirmation
science
way to go, Popular Science.
Yes, thank you, Popular Science, for confirming what we already knew.
but that is actually a really good and informative magazine.
Oh yeah, I love Popular Science. Yeah, it's a very good magazine. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And I wanted to. So that's where you sit. That's where I wanted to get through this.
Yeah, movie. I haven't been to a movie in an awfully long time. But I don't know. There's some people that really like to sit in the front row, and I've never understood that. Like, I don't want a permanent crink in my neck.
Yeah.
Because and then it's like watching a tennis game. You gotta back and forth and back and forth as the
I don't need that.
Action happens on the screen. And most movies that I like to see in the big screen are like either action movies or movies that are just supposed to be like overwhelmingly beautiful, like space movies or Avatar, movies like that are just immersively beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, we got one other one here I wanted to touch on. I thought this was kind of interesting. Pink is one of my sister's favorite singer-songwriters.
Yeah, I like her too.
Pink's aerial stunts aren't going anywhere. She says that they are fun to do, even though they're really hard and physical. She adds that they also keep her engaged and humble.
Good.
She said she wanted to be an Olympic gymnast before she became a singer. And once she saw Cher's farewell tour, which ran in 2002 to 2005, she felt inspired to add acrobatics to her shows.
Cool.
Pink said, quote, I'm very unique in the fact that I get to think about, is there something I should be hanging from when I'm singing this? Maybe this requires something being built. I don't necessarily craft a song thinking about it, but it does happen quite a bit in the songwriting process.
Oh, that's awesome.
But once it's there, I'm like, oh, that's going to be some fun stuff. why should I stay on the ground if I don't have to?
Yeah.
It makes me so happy. My cheeks hurt from smiling sometimes at shows.
Oh, that's great. Good on her for doing something a little unconventional
for
a singing performance. I mean, Cirque du Soleil does not sing while they dance.
True.
To my knowledge.
I prefer the, I always prefer the vulnerability and honesty in artists, especially singers and somebody like her. And she's been this way her whole career, and I really do admire that about her.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's noteworthy. She's, I believe, a two-time mom.
And, I think at least.
You know, she's no, she ain't old, but she's also no spring chicken. And she
right.
is still, like, she's actually challenging herself even more mm-hmm. with some of these moves and some of these things she's doing. I find that very impressive. Artists, especially modern pop stars, there's this thing going on right now where we used to wait until, like, Wayne Newton was in his 60s before he went to Vegas to go do a residency. And now it's like they're, you know.
Sooner the better.
Their star fades just a little bit. And they're like, hey, let's get to Vegas. You know, let's get on over there and stuff. And they kind of like, there's no really, like, feeling about that anymore. The kind of stereotype that exists
right,
with that.
Right, they're not getting
kind of
a, well, just like Jodie Foster doing, or no, not Jodie Foster. Jamie Lee Foxx doing commercials.
Yeah. Oh, right. Jamie Lee Curtis. Yes,
Jamie
yes,
Lee
yes,
Curtis.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you.
I love Jamie Lee Foxx, though. I like the idea of Jamie Lee Curtis and Jamie Foxx getting married. and I like that name. I like that name for her. I like that.
thank you. I made it up myself.
It was good. We want to wrap up on two more local entertainment stories. And while this one is sports related, I still think it counts. And we're gonna fit it in because
right.
it's a local one. It's a Wisconsinite we're talking about. Keeshwam native Jordan Stoltz made speed skating history in the Netherlands over the weekend.
Ooh.
Becoming the first male skier to take gold in three different events at the World Championships.
Way to go.
But the records didn't stop there. Stoltz, who was only 18, also became the youngest person to win the 500 meter since the World Championships began back in 85.
Wow.
Ran it, had a time of 34.10. It's insane. I didn't even know that was possible. Quote, I guess I wrote some history, Stoltz told the International Skating Union after Sunday's race.
I guess I wrote some history.
Stoltz finished the 1,000-meter race with a 1.7, about a half second faster than second-place finisher and Dutch speed skater Thomas Kroll.
Hmm.
The 1,500-meter event took Skoll a 1:43, finishing 2.26 of a second ahead of three-time Olympic champion Kajan Nuis of the Netherlands. Stoltz's speed skating season has been a hard one to ignore. His head coach, Bob Cordially, said the 18-year-old's performance was surprising even to him. In November, Stoltz became the youngest male to win a World Cup race, taking gold in the 1,500-meter race, according to Team USA. Stoltz also swept all three distances at the World Junior Speed Skating Championships in February.
Way to go.
This young man is not done. Stoltz, who trains at Petty National Ice Center in Milwaukee, competed in the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing, where when he was just 17, he placed 13th in the 500-meter race and 14th in the 100-meter race.
Oh, yeah. He's just getting started.
Just getting going. USA. USA. Can't wait for the Winter Olympics with this kid.
Speed skating is just, it's crazy how fast they go.
I don't know if it's common knowledge or not, but most hockey families and hockey, you know, people and fans of hockey like skating, like just skating in general, figure skating, speed skating, all of it. My dad, part of the reason I love the Winter Olympics is my dad was glued, of course, to the men's U.S. hockey teams, but also the figure skating and speed skating and you know, all those things and stuff. And what I was talking about with dancers earlier, that's part of where that knowledge comes from of a dancer's feet and a lot of those things is seeing some of that and just watching and just growing up and really, you know, admiring that the art of that.
Mm-hmm. I always wanted to be a figure skater.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, so much respect for the people that can do that stuff. The strength and time and energy that they put into it. And unlike most athletes, it's not like they're doing this and getting paid a ton of money or getting 1,000 endorsements or things like that and everything. Figure, you know, this world of Olympic skating and just world skating, you really got to love this to do this. I'm sure that this young man could be making a better living doing other things and stuff.
But it's what he loves, obviously.
Yeah.
He's putting the time and effort and energy into it. So.
And we're really glad you love this, Mr.
And we're rooting for you.
Yeah, go Jordan. Go.
Woo.
Keeshwan's own. I'm saying that horribly wrong. I know that. I'm so sorry. but Wisconsin's own right there.
There
Jordan Stoltz. Nicely done. And one other entertainment story. We talked about this a little bit earlier. I just want to remind everybody that the Grace Lutheran Church's Every Little Crook and Nanny is going to be coming up this Thursday, March 9th. Also going to have shows on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All shows will be at 6:30. On Sunday, March 12th, it's at 2:30. Got a matinee.
Yeah.
All these will take place at Grace Lutheran Church at 1531 Whitrock Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
That sounds like a cute show.
It is a fun show. If you know anything about it, I encourage you to, if you don't know, go ahead and Google Every little Crook and Nanny. You'll get a synopsis of the show. It's a fun one. We had a bunch of the actors and the director in last week and talking about it. It was a lot of fun. It's also a great way to not only spend the evening, have some good, you're going to get some church baked goods. You know, those are always good.
Oh, yeah.
But you're also going to help Grace Lutheran keep doing some good work in our community. The money that they raise from this helps them do that.
Awesome.
And we're going to help you to go for free.
Hey.
They were nice enough to give us some tickets to give away, so we got a set right here we're going to give away.
Are we doing it right now?
Doing it right now. Give us a call at 424-2600, and you can win these tickets. Just got to be our first caller. That's
all right.
It. Just be our first caller, and you'll win a pair of tickets to go see Every Little Crook and Nanny, the Grace Players presenting their 2023 theatrical performance over at Grace Lutheran Church, starting this Friday at 6:30 and going on Friday, Saturday at 6:30, and Sunday, 2:30 matinee.
I wonder how many tongue twisters they're going to have in the show with a name like that, Every Little Crook and Nanny.
Yeah, should be good. Call up 424-2600 and get these tickets. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. And on Tuesdays when you and I get to hang out, Melissa, we like to do idioms or some fun things. And one of the things that we like to do is our weird, random, funny, way out there facts.
Okay.
So let's dive into a bunch of these. We'll go rapid fire with some of them. And if we got something to say, we'll go ahead and stop and talk about it. Sports teams first visited the White House back in 1865 when President Andrew Johnson welcomed baseball, Washington Nationals, and Brooklyn Atlantics to the White House.
Okay.
That's been a thing since 1865. I wouldn't have known that. That's interesting.
Awesome.
Bourbon is named after Bourbon County, Kentucky.
I did know that.
95% of bourbon is still made in Kentucky today.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one distillery in Bourbon County, and it just opened in 2014. Before Prohibition, there were dozens of distilleries there, of course.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's only one distillery here in Wisconsin that creates a bourbon to that standard. But I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think I read
something about that.
Yeah. WD-40 got its name because it took the inventors 40 tries to get the formula right.
That's awesome.
Good thing they didn't get it on like 39. It doesn't sound the same. WD-39.
No,
sound
it wouldn't
same.
Roll off the tongue the same. WD-40. I love that stuff.
Sounds right.
It's awesome. You got to have a can of that in your house.
There are a couple of things my father instilled in me that is literally in my veins. Having duct tape and WD-40 in the house are two of those things. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you have linoleum floors, pledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so you can slide on your socks and make your mother mad.
Yes. I will say, I don't know if it's I wouldn't say it's a requirement, but man, those wipes that they have nowadays, the you can just use
like Clorox and throw, wipes Clorox or wipes. Like yes, the yes. antibacterial.
Those things are amazing. Yeah. Those things are great.
They are. They're very handy.
The most lucrative type of gambling for Vegas casinos is slot machines. 61% of their revenue comes from slots.
Wow.
61%.
Well, you have a hard time. Okay, so it's been a long time since I've been to Vegas, but I did go there twice. And on the first trip, it was me and my dad. We went out there for a bike convention. he was into electric bikes just like a decade too soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But we went out there for that, and we had a hard time finding the penny slots because they're all quarters now.
Oh.
So that's why they make the money on it.
Yeah, yeah. Biweekly has two definitions: happening every 2 weeks or happening twice a week.
Yep.
That's not confusing.
Not a bit.
That's not confusing.
You know, it's just English.
Yeah. Jeez. I knew that, yet I never really thought about it.
Oh, yeah.
Before.
When you think about it, it does make sense. Because most of us think paycheck, biweekly. It's twice a month, every 2 weeks.
I would not have really thought about it. Huh. We won't be colonizing Venus anytime soon. The surface of Venus is a hellish place where temperatures roast well over 800 degrees Fahrenheit.
Whew. Yeah, that's warm.
Probably not going to be hanging out there anytime soon.
You think August in Wisconsin is bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The Hard Rock Cafe is owned by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. They bought all the restaurants, hotels, and casinos in 2006 for just under $1 billion.
Wow. I did not know that.
I didn't either. That's
cool.
That's a pretty smart move, too.
Yeah.
Those things are still very popular.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember, now I'm remembering this. So part of the deal was they also got to keep all the celebrity stuff in there.
Yeah,
and stuff.
All of the memorabilia.
Yeah, like because Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and I know those two were behind this. Behind the original Hard Rock Cafe, so they would have stuff from like Commando in there,
yeah.
And like movies from Arnold and Sylvester and all that and stuff. And they got to keep all that.
Oh, well, they should have for that price
tag.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Oh, Canada only became the official Canadian national anthem in 1980.
Really?
The anthem before...
Oh, Canada!
The anthem before that was God Save the Queen, since they were a British colony.
Well, yeah, it was about time they changed that.
Well, and also interesting, we just had the other day, we were talking about how England doesn't really have an official... Like anthem. Yeah, God Save the Queen is kind of their in facto of anthem. So that's even weirder when you think about other countries and stuff.
That like, it being there.
I mean, it's not to pick on them. This is just history. But they were the original colonizers, so it's not too surprising that they have these kind of stories in other countries.
Mm. Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
Sally Field played Tom Hanks's mother in Forrest Gump. Just 6 years before she played his love interest in Punchline. 6 years after she played his love interest in Punchline. She's 10 years older than him in real life. It's hard to believe, but Sally is 76. Tom is 66.
Hmm.
That was very confusing to me in that movie.
I suppose if you had just seen the other one not that long before that.
Mm.
And then... Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like I'm one of the only people that did love that movie, Punchline. I was a big fan of that movie. It was like the first time you saw Tom Hanks playing a little bit of a darker character, a little bit of a meaner character in that. Sally Field plays a mom who wants to get into comedy, and he's a stand-up comedian. And actually, it's where Rita's in that movie as well. Tom, that's where he met her, and they ended up getting married. They're still married to this day, Tom Hanks' wife. But I think it was, I do believe, before Philadelphia and Forrest Gump and a lot of his serious movies, this was the first time Tom Hanks was able to show you that he could do serious work,
okay.
Which would lead to a lot of those other things.
Mm.
Big, I think, as well. I think Big gets looked at, because it is. It's a silly, fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some drama in it, and you get to see, wait a minute, this guy's got, this guy, with the man with one red shoe, the guy from Splash, the guy from Bosom Buddies, he's got a little more depth to him and everything. Maybe we shouldn't just stereotype this guy.
Mm.
Yeah, turns out, two-time Oscar winner, multiple-time guarantee, you know. I mean. Now, to Sally Field's point, I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about how women in Hollywood, you're 29, and okay, thank you, you're a very good actor, you're Helen Mirren, you're one of the greatest actors we've ever seen, but we'll see you when you're 50.
Yeah.
When we need a grandma, or mm-hmm. we need somebody to play mom. But until then, good luck. Have a great career. Like, now it's gotten much better about that, but it still has gone a long ways to go.
It does.
To Sally Field's credit, Sally Field is so well-liked and such an incredible actor that they've kind of gone like almost the opposite with her at times.
What can we make her do next?
Yes.
Like, how can we age her?
How can we age
her?
Make
her younger? How can we utilize this amazing talent?
This isn't the only time it happened to her. The movie Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis. I believe she played Abraham Lincoln's wife or whatever.
Mm.
And her and Daniel Day-Lewis, very separate in age. Like, it was very different. It was a little weird. But because Sally Field, she's just so darn good. And people love putting her in movies because she's so dang good and so likable.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I could see how this works. I could see that happening.
Yeah.
It would just be nice if that was more the common out, that was more common than it was the outlier of a Sally Field.
Yes.
And another actor we wrap up on, the great, the wonderful Chris Farley. Chris Farley had a cousin named Jim Farley, and he is now the CEO of Ford Motor Company, the board member of Harley, and a board member of Harley Davidson.
Really? Interesting.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a reach or not, But it also seems kind of funny to me that that happened, considering one of Chris's biggest roles is Tommy Boy, which is all about, you know, a guy trying to save his dad, his family motor company and everything. Mm-hmm. And then his cousin ends up working at a motor company. Yeah. I think that's kind of funny. It's kind of funny.
Ironic.
A little bit of a reach, a little bit, but yeah, I think it's still funny. And those are just some fun, random, weird facts for you throughout the day. Go ahead and run up to strangers and tell them these facts and tell them to loved ones and annoy them. That's what they're for.
Tell them you heard it here.
Yes.
WFHR, locally grown radio.
Make sure to mention that. We'll come back after Melissa's news and have some more fun. KFC's got something we want to talk about. We'll get into that and plenty more coming up for you on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, 9:37 on the clock. Hope you're having a good Tuesday out there.
Mm-hmm.
Got to talk a little KFC now. This was one of the pioneers of the over-the-top fast food items, and now it's back. KFC just announced they're bringing back their infamous Double Down sandwich for the first time in almost a decade. It's the one with the two fried chicken patties instead of buns.
Mm.
No bread, just one chicken patty, bacon, cheese, and sauce, and another chicken patty on top.
Mm. Jumping on the keto band.
Mm-hmm. It debuted in 2010 after they announced it in an April Fool's press release. So people thought it was a joke. But it was very real. It's 950 calories, or almost twice as many as a Big Mac. They brought it back for a few weeks in 2014 and haven't sold it in the U.S. since then. So it's been about 9 years. It'll hit their menu next Monday as a limited time only thing again. It'll be around for 1 month this time if you want to try it. And if you need a reminder of what it's looked like, I'm going to show Melissa it here. And this is just that is it.
Ah, it looks like two chicken tenders with a bunch of stuff in between it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, if you like fried chicken and you don't want to eat all that bread, I mean, all that fried stuff on the outside of the chicken practically counts as bread, but...
I like on Twitter, KFC posts, feeling chaotic, should we bring back the Double Down? That's good. Every fast food place is doing this. So they've all been trying to do different things. They really all, you know, KFC really got the ball rolling with this one right here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This was the one that was like, well, that'll never work. And then they saw the sales and they're like, well, it did okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, you know, every time Doritos comes out with a fringe flavor that, like, maybe a couple thousand people like, but not the masses like,
right.
I'm always curious to know the cost effect of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much, do they make their money back on that? Is it, even if they don't, is it worth it still?
Yeah, because just for the advertisement and the word of mouth.
If I have 15,000 flavors, I got to take up that much space in an aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not every flavor is going to be in there, but every flavor I have means one more spot in that aisle, which means I'm taking up that much more eyesight.
Right.
And that's advertising. That's, yeah. You know. That.
And then there's the cost involved in that, too, of what factory is going to produce that. And then we got to have new flavors and new, not new equipment for chips, but, you know.
I don't know the cost effect of it, but it seems like just especially considering they keep doing it, that it must be, you know, must work out, must be like, okay, this is worth it for us to do this.
Well, and I think that what a lot of these places do with something like this, that's just crazy out there, they're probably hoping to attract people to come try their food that, I mean, everybody's tried KFC probably, but maybe not. And maybe they want to bring in a new audience. What I'm thinking of with this is Culver's with their curd burger. You know, where they have the cheese curd that they have added to the burger. I mean, that is also a limited time thing that they have done. And they brought that back because it was so popular.
The McRib.
Yeah.
You know, was that for McDonald's? You know, almost every fast food place has something like this. I know that I don't know if they're selling them already or not. I every year I tell myself this. I'm going to try, the McShakes. or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the Shamrock Shakes.
Shamrock Shakes, yes. Every year I say I'm going to try one, and I never do. Since I was a kid, I've been doing this,
well,
and I never
like
have.
Because you like mint.
I do kind of like mint, yeah.
And
yeah.
You like ice cream.
Yes, yeah. But I'm
And you like sweet.
Yeah, but I'm never at McDonald's. I never go there, so I've never had one. But I got to try one year. I think they already released them this year. But
yes,
another example of that, mm-hmm. You know, those. I don't know, you know... I think that a lot of places, if a fast food place doesn't have one, they're trying to. They've mm-hmm. been trying to. They just haven't hit on anything that works. But every fast food place wants to do this because they saw the success of the McRib.
And, mm-hmm. Well, and when you have something that your fans really like and you take it off the menu for a while and then you try to bring it back and see if it's going to hit better this time, because a lot of people missed it. I mean, I don't know, but I'm thinking of Taco Bell, and they should probably bring back the 7-layer burrito because it's amazing. And I think that it would go over really well this time.
Part of what's so funny to me about this is, for one, I love a recurring joke. But two, there is a little truth to it. Again, I love that kind of comedy where there's a little truth. I think you're right. I think it would be very successful now.
Yeah.
I think it would do very well.
I think
well
so
now.
Too, because I mean, with all of the hype about not eating meat and trying to find things that there's not a lot of items that you can get at a fast food restaurant that don't have meat in them. You're limited a lot of times to potato.
Yeah. Which
or cheese.
Taco Bell has been pretty smart about like leaning into their audience. I actually admire the way the Taco Bell model, and they kind of can get away with some of this because they're also the same company owns KFC, and KFC kind of does the opposite of this. They go more like taking chances, like with the burger, with the sandwich here. Where Taco Bell, like, what is our audience like? Let's lean into that. let's keep the people we have. So many businesses are trying to get new people, and they don't really take care of their core audience. I think it's cool when you see a business that's that big and they're kind of like, we're going to do our thing. You know, if you like Taco Bell, you like Taco Bell. If you don't, our numbers are fine. You know,
fine enough that they're not even on DoorDash in this town.
That stuff kind of surprises me, especially I thought DoorDash was invented specifically for Taco Bell. Like, I'm only
wasn't
joking.
Wasn't that the point?
Yeah, but I mean, 2 a.m, you need Taco Bell.
You need
Bell.
Some like, chalupas, man.
Yes. I would love to see how much of their sales is after midnight. I'd like to see, because I generally think it's pretty good.
Lot of fast food restaurants that are open until 2 a.m.
I just wanted to touch on this story real quick. Melissa and I, during the break, were talking about it, and I realized that maybe not everybody has heard about this and everything, and I think it's an interesting story. It's also a That Ain't Right story. Colombia is proposing transferring at least 70 hippopotamuses that live near Pablo Escobar's former ranch. Descendants of four imported from Africa illegally by the late drug lord in the 1980s to India and Mexico. They want to send them to India and Mexico as part of a plan to control their population. The hippos, which are territorial and weigh up to 3 tons,
whew,
have spread far beyond the Haslindi Napolese ranch, located 200 kilometers or 124 miles from Bodega along the Mandalayan River. Environmental authorities estimate that there are about 130 hippos in the area, in that province.
Whoa.
And their population could reach 400 in 8 years.
Yikes. All from four.
Yeah. Scientists warn the hippos do not have a natural predator in Colombia and are a potential problem for the biodiversity, since their feces change the composition of the rivers and could impact the habitat of manatees and carabiers. Last year, Colombia's government declared them a toxic invasive species.
Yikes. And they're a big one.
And this is all Pablo Escobar's fault. He's the guilty party in this. And, you know, I would say the Colombian government, you know, could maybe not have let them get away with as much as he did. They let him get away with a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think celebrities get away with a lot in this country. Drug lords in other countries, especially in Colombia and some of those other places, like, yeah, you might as well be a famous athlete, famous soccer player in Colombia, like the way that is.
Mm-hmm.
So you get what you put in, you know. If you don't hold these people accountable and things like this happen, then all of a sudden your whole entire country is going to suffer because of letting one fool get away with this stuff.
Well, yeah, and now that's a huge problem that's going to have a ginormous impact on their environment. I mean, we talk about invasive species here in Wisconsin all the time, and they're little things. We're talking about crayfish and snails and algae and, you know, duckweed. But those things are problematic in themselves. Can you imagine if any of them weighed 3,000? Well, no, you said 3 tons?
3 tons.
3 tons.
The that ain't right part of this story is not the hippo. The hippo did not ask for this.
No, it's not their fault.
The hippo didn't look for, hey, you know, I want a vacation in Colombia. You know,
I'm going to go start a family there.
Hey, Pablo, could you give us a ride to Colombia? I want to check this. I want to show the wife Colombia. You know, that's not how that works.
It's like a good place for our kids.
Yeah. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the species or the animals. Not fair to all the other creatures and the wildlife of that area of Colombia, which is a beautiful country.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to suffer. That's a big problem.
The plan to take them to India and Mexico has been forming for more than a year, and they're closer now than ever to making this happen. How, though? The hippos will be lured with food into large iron containers and transferred by truck to the international airport. From there, they would be flown to India and Mexico, where there are sanctuaries and zoos capable of taking them in and caring for these animals. I love how simply they make this sound.
Yeah.
The plan is to send 60 hippos over there, the first go, 60. 60 creatures that weigh 3 tons. Like, what can transport that? Like, as far as a plane. Like, there's planes that can do that?
Multiple planes, James.
You talk about, like, an impressive, like, thing to be able to pull off, like, carrying two of them over there. Like, as much of a That Ain't Right story as it is, and horrible as it is, and I'm not trying to give him even an ounce of credit, it's kind of impressive getting those hippos to Colombia in the first place, let alone getting them out of Colombia. Yeah. That's going to be very impressive, too.
That's 120,000 pounds.
Jeez.
60 hippos.
My God. Yeah.
So, a new plan, James. Mm-hmm. Let's go be hippo hunters.
Okay.
In Colombia.
Right. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? It'd be scary.
Yeah.
And dangerous.
Yeah,
and we might die.
Yeah. But.
Location reporting.
I'm with you. if this means by hunting, if you mean not killing them.
Right. We got to lure them.
Hippo lurers. Yeah, I like that.
Hippo baiters.
Yeah, hippo baiters. I like that. Yeah, I'm all in. So if you guys out there, you guys are great listeners. If you guys could let our owners know, Melissa and I are out.
Yep, buying plane tickets.
We're gonna go do some
go bait some hippopotami.
Hippo baiting. Why do I feel like I'd be the bait?
Well, you do have longer legs than me, so I'm assuming you can run faster.
I am pretty fast. Yep. I am pretty fast.
Yep.
I
don't think I'll just shut the door after they get in. I have a question though. Is it hippopotamuses or hippopotami?
It's a great question. I've never known. And it's one of those things that, like, even before doing this article, I'm like, no, I'm not going to look it up. I'm just going to go with it. Just whatever it is, it is. You know, I like not knowing.
And our outro music. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
We'll be right back.
A hippopotamus will do.
With a That Ain't Right story. Here on the morning show at WFHR. You are the best. Nicely done. Melissa and I here, and we're going to wrap up the show, take it right to the top of the hour with a That Ain't Right story. Not just a person, but a That Ain't Right story.
Okay.
A study has found the reason why clowns are scary.
Oh, good information.
Here's your word of the day. Coulrophobia.
Coulrophobia
is the fear of clowns.
Okay.
And a new study found over half of us have it to some degree.
Really?
1,000 people of all ages were polled, and 54% said that they are scared of them at least a little bit. That includes 5% who said extremely afraid.
Okay.
So why are clowns so scary? To find out, they asked that 54% group a bunch of follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. And here are 8 reasons we find them scary, ranked from most to least common. Number 1, hidden emotional signals, meaning their makeup makes them impossible to read. So you can't tell they're happy, angry, or about to chase you. Yeah. You know?
All right, I can see that, yeah.
I've always felt that way about mimes.
Yeah, well, they have similar face paint makeup.
I've never been scared by a clown, but mimes have not now. When I was younger, they did freak me out a little bit. You'd see them like in Chicago, like near Union Square or something like that, and doing their acts and everything. And there would be musicians, like drummers, playing drums on a box or something. But right next to them would be these mimes, and I would like leave money for the drummers, and I wouldn't even look at the mime. I think back,
like walk the other way with your hand up.
I look back and I feel kind of like a jerk now for it, but like as a kid, you know, they bothered me. I did not like mimes.
And that they chose that profession. They got to know that there are some people that just aren't cool with it.
Negative portrayals in the media. Things like the movie It that taught us to be afraid of them. Some of that.
See, I thought that would be number one.
Mm. I hear you on that. I agree. I don't disagree with you or the article, but I also say, well, what about Ronald McDonald? What about, like, I mean, we've had clowns in our
circuses,
Bozo the Clown, and circuses, and all this,
like clowns and cartoons.
We've actually had them in our lives longer than we have like Pennywise from It or something like that. It feels like, well, then it should have the opposite effect. Actually, clowns shouldn't be as scary at all to us and everything, or as scary. But apparently not. Their behavior is unpredictable, and that makes us nervous. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, kind of like mimes.
They don't quite look human. It's something called the uncanny valley effect. Some people have the same reaction to dolls and realistic robots.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Had a girlfriend right out of high school that was deathly afraid of those dolls that looked alive. Like very afraid of those things. We stayed at her aunt's house once up north, and she didn't know that in the room we were staying in, we're like on the bed, like all these dolls.
Oh no!
And right.
It's doll collection.
We walk in there. I went in first and dropped the stuff off, and she goes in there after me, and I'm in the bathroom, like on another floor, and I could hear her scream.
Oh my!
So that's how I found out she was afraid of those.
Okay.
Things.
Okay, yeah. Good to know.
Their exaggerated facial features make them seem threatening. The color of their makeup reminds us of death, disease, and blood. Whoa, didn't think of that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, white and red and yellow.
A parent or a family member's fear of clowns rubbed off on you.
Yeah.
And finally, you've had a scary encounter with a clown at some point in your life. It's fairly common for people with a fear of clowns, but it ranked last out of those 8 reasons.
Well, being a clown would be a difficult job. Like, think about what clowns do at circuses. Oftentimes, they are trying to lure whatever terrifying animal is trying to attack the performer. And they're rodeo or...
They're trying to...
Yeah, like bull
rodeo
riding.
Clowns,
yeah,
you know?
Rodeo clowns. Yeah. And, I mean, these guys are working hard. They're getting sweaty. And they're mostly guys. And then all that makeup. And if any of them get really close to you, that the thought of that does terrify me a little bit.
I can see that.
Terrify. Maybe. I don't want to use the word, any of the words I'm thinking of, I can't use.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
I can,
I hear
but
you.
They're not, you know.
It doesn't fit.
No.
I hear you.
And they're not complimentary.
That too. That.
But I do have great respect for people who put that much effort into a performance, who would wear that much makeup and those big giant shoes. I've actually had to dance in clown shoes before. It's not easy.
I was born with clown shoes for feet, so I have a respect for people that can walk around in those things.
Future career for you?
Yeah, it could have been. I've always thought that this was an interesting thing about clowns, the choosing that world, choosing that life and everything. And similar to what you said before, it's something that they choose. But I've never quite understood the idea of being scared of them. But I do think that it stems from so much of, I see a theme with a lot of this, unknown and uncertainty.
You know, that's unable to read expression,
which is where a lot of our fears, our stereotypes come from. And I think that if you are afraid of clowns, getting to know that world a little bit more may make it a little less fearful for you. I genuinely believe that fear can be a good thing. And you know, it's something that keeps us alive in many ways. But I don't believe anybody should be walking around with fears, with phobias. I believe that every phobia can be defeated. I am living proof of that. And I encourage others to take on their phobias as they can. Not not rushing anything. And hey, if you don't get to it till you're 70, that's fine. But you still beat a phobia.
I think we're going to start a crusade. It's called Call a Clown. And and you can start a like a friendship with a clown over the phone and start to ally some of those fears that you have of the clowns in your life.
I like this. I like this a lot. I think you're onto something there, Mel.
I don't know.
I like it. Here's a couple of good stories real quick for you. How's this for an early birthday present? A woman in North Carolina turned 58 last month and one day earlier found out she hit the lottery for $1 million.
Oh, hey, happy birthday.
Nice. Nice.
She's getting a nice birthday present.
Yeah, maybe you don't have to get her anything for her birthday. She's already got it covered.
Years.
Yeah, yeah. And two intellectually disabled women went missing in Maine a couple weeks after they after trying to drive to a mall. No one could find them for 5 days, and it was below zero out, so their families feared the worst. Yeah. But last Sunday, a game warden found their SUV on a dead-end road in the middle of nowhere, and they were fine. It turned out they got very lost. They drove through Massachusetts and New Hampshire before finding their way back to Maine. They eventually got stuck in snow on a logging road and ran out of gas. But they're back home now, and they're doing just fine.
Oh, what an adventure.
A shout-out to that officer finding them and the great work. And I'm glad you said that, Melissa, because that's apparently like watching the interview with these ladies and, and hearing them talk about it. And to them, this was just a big adventure.
And they just had fun.
Yeah, they had really, not to make light of the situation or anything like that, but to them, it was a light situation. Like, they were just kind of stuck. And you know?
Sounds like a good movie script.
Yeah, they were warm. They were okay. Mm-hmm. They had some snacks in the car, so apparently they were okay.
Until they ran out of gas.
Yeah, yeah. How thankful that is. A great story about prepping. Like, always good to bring snacks, everybody.
Snacks and warm clothes.
Definitely. We got Morning Magazine coming up for you. We're going to talk with Ruby Marty, Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen. And in part two, we'll catch up with our friends at the Southwood County YMCA. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Looking forward to it. Melissa, have yourself a great day.
You too, James.
When you guys enjoy your day, we'll be back with more fun on Morning Magazine coming up here at WFHR, locally grown radio.